for those people who are not familiar with Dr. Luke, it's always a pleasure for me to introduce him. I, you know, consider him to be really one of my mentors in the homeopathic community, somebody who I respect tremendously. He's a prolific author. He's published a number of books, including The People's Repertory, The Critical Human Condition, his textbook, Hahnemann Revisited, and more recently he published a book called Maintaining and Achieving the Similimum, which I personally consider to be one of the most, maybe one of the top of handful of books that was written in the last 200 years that is absolutely vital to practicing homeopathy effectively. Not to say that his other works aren't very important as well, but I think this work is incredibly, incredibly vital for practice today. Luke is also the founder of the Renaissance School of Homeopathy. He teaches all over the world. He's been on television. He is a tremendous philanthropist when it comes to homeopathy. He's always traveling to some third world country and offering his experience and expertise to help people in need. So he's really one of the heroes in the homeopathic community. And I think maybe the best testimony that I can give is just if you ever meet one of his students, the reaction will be always pretty much the same, which is tremendous enthusiasm for his teaching. And they tend to be the best trained and most knowledgeable homeopathic students and practitioners that we have in the community. So all that really says a lot in terms of what Luke contributes to homeopathy in the 20th century. So, Luke, thank you again for joining us. It's always really, really appreciated.
Thanks, Kim. No problem.
So, Luke, you had suggested the title of tonight's talk being Lycopodium, the Intellectual, and Fluoric Acid, the Pimp, Strange Bedfellows. And so I was curious, how did you come up with the idea for tonight's call?
Well, I always am intrigued by some articles and studies that I found in allopathy, and from there I derived some of this, particularly titles that I bring forward. And in fact, I'm sure that if Mr. Lycopodium and Mr. Fluoric Acid would meet each other on the street, that they would have nothing but contempt for each other, and yet they have a lot more in common than they think. And of course, as usual, they also have a lot of difference. And why I came on the really title was in the first place because I saw a study, and it's something that maybe is hidden in our practice, but I saw a study in allopathy about sexual dysfunction in the U.S., and the study of found many, many in the U.S. Experiencing sex problems. In fact, no more, no less than 40% of the women at some point, you know, in between age 18 to 59, and nearly one-third of men report some sort of sexual dysfunction, such as lacking of interest in sex or enjoyment of sex, performance anxiety, of course, inability to achieve or hold off orgasm, and so on and so on. So this is something that maybe not in the first place, sometimes it is the first complaint, of course, of the patient, but certainly it is something that is a lot more present and should be presented more in our practice. I mean, only have to refer to what you see on TV. Whatever sells on TV is Viagra and weight loss pills, and those are the two items probably that always sell, you know, in the billions. So looking at that, we also know that it's really a strict problem, but the way the problem is really approached by allopathy is, of course, forcing things with medications as usual, that and not really looking at the real reality behind it. And therefore, you know, I came to this two people like Lycopodium and Fluoric Acid, as you know, in fact, at first sight, they don't seem to have anything in common. But when you look at it from a close side, then sexual dysfunction is certainly a topic that you can see in both of them in their own ways, and of course very different, as we will find out as we go along with comparing these two individuals.
Interesting. Luke, when you do the work of comparison, how do you make these distinctions? Exactly, how do you actually do the work of
differentiating? Well, we always have the problem, Kim. You know, when we are coming after our lengthy discussion with the patient, and we're trying to get something good out of it, you know, if you're lucky, we come to two to three remedies that are close to each other. And, you know, whoever has been in practice, this task of differentiating between close remedies, it can be tremendously difficult. You know, it sounds like, how can that be? Like Lachesis could be close to sulfur and Hyoscyamus could be close to tarantula. But, you know, for all of those, for all of us who have been in practice, it is not as easy as it is on paper, no doubt about it. So for me, what has been a tremendous help, you know, besides reading the Materia Medica, and of course, again, too, when we read Materia Medica, they're kind of written in a dark and really sometimes incomprehensible way, because you, at one time you see a sentence like, likes to laugh and sing, and then the next sentence says, and is totally silent and taciturn and does not want to talk. So for somebody who is not acquainted with our Materia Medica, this sounds like a remedy can almost do anything, and how do we make a differentiation between those particular symptoms? So it is not that easy, you know. So one of the things that I found that really has helped me tremendously is that when I read Jung for the last 3 years and studied Jung very much, I really got a good grasp of what he called the primary or archaic delusion, or you can call it core delusion, basically, because it is something that is really unique to every individual and therefore unique to every remedy. And I have found that when I can find those core delusions, the real archaic delusion, and what that means is this, that if it's the primary delusion, that with time, because the patient's problems don't get resolved as usual, and certainly suppressed in allopathic medicine, that with time, secondary delusions or secondary fixed ideas will appear. So by having to be able to formulate the core delusions of more than 100 remedies now, which will be the topic of another book in about 2-3 years, about, you know, 1,000-page book, it is actually a lot easier for me when I say, well, these two remedies are so close. Let me look what the core delusion is of these two remedies, and so that I have an idea what it really stands for, and then see if it fits with, you know, which one fits the patient best. That's really, for me, it was a great finding, and I must say I have everything to thank to Jung, Carl Jung, in that way, because he was really what I would call a homeopath, an unconscious homeopath, and he would have liked the term, rather than a conscious one, but that's why he was so successful, and that's why he really was also interested in traditional Chinese medicine. You know, that's another thing that he added to his writings and readings.
Well, I have to say, Luke, I'm extremely excited about your 1,000-page book on delusions and homeopathy. I really can't wait for that to be published, but
that's going to be after the book in the fall. Then another 2-3 years.
Yeah, I mean, I'm dying to get my hands on that one. But so I know you've done a lot of work with core delusions, and I've seen some of that work, Luke, and it's very impressive. Could you specifically, relating to these two remedies, tell us what would be their core delusions?
So if you want to define it shortly anyway, so the core delusion in general, then we know that that's really a fixed idea. And by the way, we all have one, okay? All of us have a core delusion. If you don't think you have one, that's exactly the one you have. So we all have a core delusion. And basically what it does, it is something that is really, although delusion in allopathic terms is referring to something that is not related to the truth, with us, in homeopathic terms, it really is related to an aspect, to something that happened in your life, usually of emotional nature, and that really has changed your life for the better or the worse, but certainly for the worse with many people. So a core delusion makes you do the things you do, makes you think the way you think, makes you act the way you act. In other words, it is a very strong guide and explains the behavior and the persona, you know, the mask that you put up of your being. So when you compare the lycopodium, because this goes between these two now, and this is the example that we're going to take, how to differentiate between two remedies, you know, that might be closer than you think, especially because both of them will be hiding their compensations. It's not like they will come to you that quickly with confessing their sins, so to speak, from the unconscious. So when you look at the core delusions of both, let's just start with lycopodium and see what the great fixed idea is that, like, a podium has, and that it makes him do so many things, and certainly makes him put up a big mask, as we might know, as the homeopaths should know, which we call an excessive persona, you know, that like a podium have. And the core delusion, therefore, that I found for like a podium among all his fixed ideas is that he has done wrong and everything will vanish. So he has done wrong and everything will vanish. Everything will disappear. You can see in this particular sentence that there is a sense of guilt. There is also a sense of anticipation and a fear for failure, that everything will disappear. This is a very strong one-sided attitude of like a podium. It is hidden, and usually, by the way, the core delusion is hidden in all of us. It's put down in the subconscious, in the unconscious, where we as homeopaths and our patients have to go and fish it out and try to find it. So if you have such a one-sided conscious attitude, you know, then we always must think that the subconscious has just the opposite attitude. That's, by the way, also the general rule of the dream interpretation. So we can clearly see here is somebody like a podium who puts such a front up of an excessive persona, this self-confident, powerful. Remember how he speaks, we say, you know, dictatorial behavior, speaks with a voice of command. Yet underneath, you know, what the mask is, what really the shadow side is, underneath is just the opposite, and we know that he has to compensate. And his dreams, by the way, show it typically, because he has dreams that his boat will be sinking. It says the boat will be foundering. It certainly is also expressed by the fear of being not unable to reach his destination, of which like a podium is the only remedy that we see in this particular rubric. We also know the fear for failure in business, where like a podium. You know, it's very interesting for me that, as it says, you know, he has done wrong. You can see that he blames himself. You know, he blames himself, and we certainly see it, amazingly enough, in also that he has the delusion he has neglected his duty. It's a two for that. Now, something that is very surprising at first, and when you think about like a podium person, a very intellectual, introvert person many of the time, but very intellectual and always over-prepared. Yet he says he neglects his duty. This will really be related to his job, by the way, rather than anything else. So that's one of the things that we will see. So you see that like a podium, above all, you know, like a podium has what we would call a dominant animus, a very strong male side, and a very undeveloped anima or feeling side. And therefore, he approaches the world with his thinking function most of the time. He always wants to be the number one in business, of course. And he is a boaster, it says, who wishes to be considered rich. Now, for us, it's important as a homeopath, or maybe even if you know a friend, you don't have to be a homeopath, but you know how many of us have made the mistake, myself included, to really, really recognize somebody for what he is, to really discover the person under his mask, and to rip that mask off in a conversation that is not so nice. We should be very careful to do so, and even as a homeopath, when you recognize it in your homeopathic practice, when you see the excessive persona, you know, which like a podium tries to maintain so strongly, we must really be careful not to rip off that mask, and rather than just saying such things and being the know-all, we must really relax the patient a little bit, that's how I would call it, by first giving him some doses of like a podium, if it's his similium, the homeopathic like a podium, because that will be change his attitude. It will be looking at him. It will be gently done. If it's done, especially with the fifth and sixth edition, if it's done with the smallest dose possible, if it's done on the right time, you know, with judicial interval, then you actually will be able to relax the patient. And the patient, rather than being hit against the head, rather than ripping off his mask, will be actually able to change himself. We'll be able to listen to you, and we'll feel the empathy coming from you. So it is a mistake we all can make. We might really mean well. We do it in our, I'm sure we all do it in our other, you know, relationships, you know, to our loved ones sometimes, you know, by saying, well, you are like this, don't you see it? You know, usually when we approach people like that, and I have done it to my regret, then we kick them against the shins, and that really does not create any cooperation later. So we have the tools in our hand, like with like a podium, to give him, to relax him at first, and to make him himself. He will see himself just like a person will have to understand his dream first before we even explain it. When he will understand himself, what path he has taken, it is so much easier for him to really follow the right direction. So that is a very important thing. And when it comes to sex, we're comparing now with fluoric acid, then of course he is known for this one night stands, of course. And enforcing it like a podium, because he has this, what we call excessive persona, this excessive thick mask, he wants to be also the sexual hero. And unfortunately, therefore, he usually fixes his attention on not on his partner, which he should do, but on the sexual act itself. You know, in logotherapy of Viktor Frankl, we call this hyper-reflection. You know, it is the compulsion of self-observation. And whenever we have a compulsion of self-observation, it really is doomed to failure. And therefore, like a podium, pleasure remains a side effect and is destroyed when it's made the only goal. So we need to keep this in mind. So lycopodium, as we know, has definitely premature ejaculation. It's certainly another consequence that can be remedied by the homeopathic lycopodium. But it gives you an idea about the core delusion when we say he has done wrong and everything will disappear, everything will vanish. It gives you an idea what it is all about, not just his sexual act, but also his performance. We know it when he has to perform in the public, you know, the timidity appearing in public, but also the failure on the moment that he actually presents his whatever he has to present. So that's really like a podium, the core delusion. If I look at fluoric acid, it's another very interesting remedy, and a totally different one now, and see here already, when we look at those two different core delusions, you will see then how easy it is to have a good idea how you can differentiate these two people when they meet each other. Because from fluoric acid, the core delusion is delusion betrothal, which is engagement, must be broken. It's the only remedy that has this. And almost all the other delusions of fluoric acid actually confirm this core delusion, which is, of course, one of the criteria that I use to choose a core delusion, because we see also that fluoric acid wants to get rid of his servants, he wants to get rid of his wife, he wants to get rid of his children, all of it. You know, these are all fixed ideas that he has, and which is related, of course, to the wanting to connect with others. You know, he says he wants to connect to acquaintances and strangers, you know, like a podium and fluoric acid have certainly one thing in common, that they are more kind to strangers and acquaintances than to their own family. Unfortunately, that's something they have in common, and that's what we need to keep in mind. So with fluoric acid, it is really something else, as you see. It's all about wanting to have no responsibility, certainly no responsibility, not even at home, and we will actually see also no responsibility at work, which also makes a difference. And trying to really get away from his family. You know, where before, obviously in the old times, we didn't have TV, we didn't have the internet, let's put it this way. I think the internet has really been brought in there and has really, you know, made sure that many, many more people have become fluoric acid, because now they don't have to leave their home anymore. I mean, if you have a husband who sits at night, you know, spends the night in front of his computer, believe me, it's a red flag. I have heard it many times in the practice where the wife would say to me, my husband sits in front of his computer until 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and believe me, it's not to research some research papers about anything. It's often the fluoric acid, in my opinion, is now has become an under-prescribed remedy, and in many like a podium, prescriptions that really fail to act, one should consider to look at fluoric acid, because it certainly in this day and age has become a problem and something that we will see more and more in the practice, and that we really can remedy, because their behavior definitely will lead to a catastrophe for family and also for their own lives, no doubt about it.
Interesting. Luke, in terms of lycopodium first, how would somebody get into a lycopodium state? How would you actually become a lycopodium?
Yeah, there is certain, here too we will be able to make a differentiating between these two remedies, but certainly when you look at lycopodium, you know, lycopodium is mainly what I would call an introvert thinking type. Now, rather introvert, although when you meet a lycopodium person, it wouldn't really show like this. You know, remember, there is a difference between what he really is and what he shows when he comes to you. What he shows when he comes to you is like an extrovert person, okay, not an introvert that he truly is. Certainly, he is extrovert when, you know, he shows his self-confidence, his powerful persona. You know, he certainly has an excessive sexual appetite, and that's also something in common with fluoric acid, although it is different, as we will see. So the other Neverwell sense, or the Eamons from, we also see Eamons from mortification and humiliation. Remember how I said that lycopodium has an excessive persona, the stick mask, that he absolutely is deadly afraid of being ripped off, you know, therefore he is leery about strangers in that way. So he cannot stand humiliation or mortification, as we call it, the black type remedy for it. And certainly he also, to keep his persona, to keep his mask on, he also can show much suppressed anger, because he wants to feel that he is in control. He wants to show that he is in control. Yet, that is usually at work, not really at home. At home, he will really usually lose it very easily. And certainly, as I said before, have a different attitude towards his loved ones, children, and married one, and to his wife. So this is certainly, the suppressed anger is something that is an ailment from, that can lead to such a lycopodium state. Also anticipation, of course. Remember, the anticipation anxiety, it really has to do to some extent with the cowardice that lycopodium would say. And when I say cowardice, it's a harsh word. Because people that has come in lycopodium state, they often have been abused to some extent. They often have been the victim of tyranny when they were a child themselves. They often were, you know, a victim of vexation, humiliation, and therefore they really despise encounters or discussions with other people. Confrontations is probably the right word. They despise confrontations, and they would turn away from it. You know, they turn away from it and rather flee from it. It is cowardice to some extent, but it is a harsh word, because I must say, for many lycopodiums that I meet, I have rather empathy, because it certainly has been done what the Chinese would have called by really elements that were not under their control, and that's really not a nice thing to see. Certainly, it's an intellectual, like Sofer and Lachesis, lycopodium. But the problem is that lycopodium, from a young age on, it has a rather frail physical condition. And therefore, people with frail children with frail physical condition usually make up with the intellectual overcompensation. And that's certainly what lycopodium does. But lycopodium does not have the confidence of a Sofer, not even the confidence and the the loquacity of a Lachesis, which is the complementary remedy from, and certainly not, you know, like aurum in carcinosum, certainly also very intellectual remedies, but they have actually more positive tools, you know, more strong tools than the lycopodium often. So for the lycopodium, it can be a very hard life, and it's certainly, when we unmask such a person, as we can say it, the unmasking needs to be done gently. The mask needs to be done with, you know, point by point, dose by dose, and with relaxing the patient as to see where he went wrong so that he actually can take the right road again. So that would, I would say, is basically the ailments from lycopodium, which, again, is unfortunately certainly quite often present.
And what about fluoric acid? Could you give us the same?
But fluoric acid is an interesting person, as I said before. But, you know, the difference between fluoric acid, I'm always amazed, that simple people, if I may call it that way, or people, if you look at the periodic table of the level 2, you know, the carbon people in general, and fluoric acid certainly belongs to that level. How they get actually through life, sometimes I don't know. But you know what? Sometimes they have an easier time to get through life than we have. Certainly because we do have an individual here that we cannot hardly call an intellectual. He's not interested in intellect, let's put it that way. He's not interested in conversations, neither reading. Reading gives him a headache, it says in the provings. So he's not interested in that. And certainly what we see with fluoric acid is that he has what they call ailments from debauchery, debauched lifestyle, because drinking is certainly another aspect of his debauched lifestyle besides the sexual addiction that they have. You know, the greatest, it's certainly one of the greatest sexual addictive remedies that we have, and it is quite amazing what he can do. Let's put it this way. Fluoric acid is a sex addict who will spend all his available time pursuing his obsessions day and night. You know, whether they are shopping with their wife at K-Market or driving to the office, sex is always on their mind. So it is normal. You know, when people are obsessed by different things, then those things are always what fills their minds and days with. There's no doubt about it. So with fluoric acid, it's always about sex. And like, one of my patients says, it's like an itch that I need to scratch continuously. That's what his words were about it. So this ailment from debauchery has, besides alcoholism and sex, has also to do with the neglect towards his family, as you see, this really expressions that he had that he does not want to take any responsibility towards them, servants, children, wife, even his job. So he wants, what we call it, go into a fancy illusions. You know, he has this fixed idea of fancy illusions. And for me, this rubric, delusion, comma, of fancy illusions, is a very interesting one, and I would invite everybody once after our conference to look at it and look at the different many remedies we have there, and we will see many different teams, you know, belonging to these remedies. Just to give you one, Nat Carb, Nat Muir, which are in there. Obviously, for them, the escaping into fancy illusions, which is in the dream world, so to speak, is just to protect themselves on the emotional plane. But when we talk about fluoric acid escape in fancy illusions, it really has all to do with escaping in a world that is detached from his family. You know, repulsive, fantastic delusions, it says. He's detached of it, and therefore, for him, this is the only world he wants to live in, and neglected for everything else. So that is the sad thing about it. And usually, contrary to what we believe, because people always have this idea as well, a fluoric acid person, such a sex addict, that's probably, the pedophiles, maybe the rapist, and so on and so on. But, you know, this is not true. Fluoric acid personalities are not easily distinguished from the rest of us. You know, they are men and women, gay, straight, children, families, with children and families and steady jobs, without any doubt. And I don't know, I'm sure some of you have seen the program on MSNBC, To Catch a Predator, you know, where you can see how so many different people of different lifestyles, you know, anything you can, people come, even when they have seen the program, there is such a tremendous, you know, sexual dysfunction that they still do it, you know. So it tells you a little bit about the problem that it is in this world. It is a tremendous problem, and I would say for us, the homeopath is in an absolutely wonderful position to help such a person, and certainly to bring some stability in the family again, because I can only imagine, I have seen it in the practice, what really this creates in a family, you know, neglect of the whole family. And certainly it's not fun for anybody involved in that.
Very interesting, Luke. Luke, just specifically in terms of their delusions, can you compare the delusions of lycopodium and fluoric acid? I mean, how do they relate to each other?
Yeah, so remember how we said, let me just focus maybe first on the model delusion, as I call it, or you can call it core delusion or primary delusion, whatever you want. Remember that we said about, you know, again, with fluoric acid, it's definitely everything. Remember how betrothal must be broken. Remember his, you know, whatever he wants to be with his family, he wants to get away from his family. So in other words, everything is a quest for total freedom to engage in a devout lifestyle. So therefore, he remains totally indifferent to work and family. There is no sense of responsibility in fluoric acid. It's called inability, it says in the proving, inability to realize responsibility. And it's only at night, so to speak, that he comes home, although now he doesn't have to leave home, as we already know. So that's definitely what we see with the mother delusion of fluoric acid. We actually have it a little bit different with lycopodium, because with the lycopodium, we actually have the core delusion. Remember that everything will vanish. So for him, it's all about his careful protection of his core delusion, and that he does not want his mask to be ripped off. And therefore, lycopodium will have a lot of distrust, mistrust, or suspicion, we call it, of course. I don't know if the listeners are aware of it, that lycopodium is the most suspicious remedy in our Materia Medica, the only four in our synthesis. And of course he has mistrust because, you know, he is a very psychotic remedy, which is a psychotic trait, suspicion. He has a mistrust for anybody who can come in between him and the power position that he is looking for. So that's definitely one thing. You know, he wants power. He wants to succeed in work. Now, that's something we see right away, a difference with fluoric acid, who is not interested in work at all. You know, certainly, lycopodium can be a philanderer, but it's very well hidden. Now, with fluoric acid, the illusion that he has, well, he is an open philanderer. Now, with him, it's a one-night, you know, he doesn't really, you know, it's transparent for everybody. You know, and for him, business is certainly not something that he is interested in it. So that's for sure. The interesting thing with lycopodium is, too, that it says lack of responsibility, and yet he has the delusion he neglects his responsibility. That sounds like a contradiction, right? In this delusion neglects his business, he neglects his duty, It's an italic remedy. It's most important after aurum. Well, where does this contradiction come from? It's simple. You know, for lycopodium, we see indeed he flees from his children. So it has everything to do really with the responsibility towards the home. Okay, this is what it is, rather than towards his work, because he is, no doubt about it, very in tune with his work. He wants to succeed. Above all, he wants to have that powerful love for power is definitely strong in lycopodium. That doesn't interest at all fluoric acid, as you must know. Fluoric acid, you know, if you have four symptoms you would say about fluoric acid, I would say lack of morality that he has, increased sexual activity, he is indifferent to family, and he is indifferent to his job. So where lycopodium definitely has indifferent to his family to some extent, certainly he is not indifferent to his job. So we see right away that the real good differential diagnosis that we can see looking from the delusions, when we look at all the delusions, how lycopodium, for instance, has delusion that he's about to receive an injury, that just tells you that, again, the mistrust, the suspicion that lycopodium has towards anybody who he thinks can just stop him from reaching his goal, which is, of course, being the number one in business, certainly something fluoric acid is not interested in at all. So you see the difference, although they have such common stand when it comes to sex and preoccupation with sexual performance, which, by the way, will always will lead when you have such preoccupation. You know, Viktor Frankl is one of my favorite psychiatrists. Unfortunately, he died when he was 93 in the 90s. He called it hyper-intention and hyper-reflection. You know, when one puts so much intention and reflection on a deed, be it reaching an orgasm, be it reaching an erection, it certainly is doomed to failure, and that certainly is one of the consequences, as we know very well, with lycopodium, because he definitely wants to keep up that persona. So that gives you a good idea where we can use this core delusion of both remedies when we understand it to see right away, well, that fits our patient or that doesn't really fit our patient at all. And certainly when we look at the person's education, his behavior, like a podium, is definitely a much more intellectual person, thinking person who approaches life with his thinking function. Well, in fluorocarbon, it really is more of a more simple person stuck, I would say, in the second level of the periodic table.
Luke, what about the causalities for each of the remedies? How do you compare those?
You know, that's an interesting thing. When I looked at these causalities of fluoric acid, the first thing that really struck me was that, you know, it only has a couple of causalities, or what we call never well since or ailments from, and they only were one. You know, anything was not excessive. In other words, I was certainly looking with a person like this for ailments from sexual excesses, for instance. I would have expected that. Yet, it actually is not at all present in fluoric acid, but it is a black type in lycopodium. So when I was thinking about myself, how is that possible that, you know, in fluoric acid, we don't really see any outspoken ailments from? Now, it does have ailments from anticipation, a one, debauchery, as we mentioned it, debauched lifestyle, a one, ailments from mental work, a one, and, you know, of course, the answer has to be because of the kind of person that we have to deal with here. It is a crude and unsophisticated type who only has seemingly one goal, of course, in life, and that's connecting to others on a sexual plane and avoiding his responsibility at work. So therefore, mental work, you know, with fluoric acid, it's minimal because he will avoid it at all costs, so he doesn't get too many ailments from mental work. That's one thing for sure. The ailments from the boat's lifestyle, well, for him, he thinks it's just normal to go away from his family, and he doesn't think really he doesn't hurt anybody when he sits on his computer in the middle of the night and looks at whatever porn sites that he is looking at. So for him, he doesn't really hurt anybody because everybody is asleep and he does it on his free time, so to speak. And also, again, it's just the one. And the anticipation, of course, well, the only anticipation that fluoric acid has is like, my God, I'm looking forward to either meet new people, you know, remember the acquaintances or strangers that he loves to get engaged in a great conversation. Of course, now it's on the computer. So that's the kind of the only aims from anticipation he has. It has certainly nothing to do with anticipation about performance. And this is what's so different with, of course, lycopodium. You know, the anticipation with lycopodium is a tree. It's a black type remedy for ailments from anticipation. And we already know it because for him, everything he does, everything he performs, even the wife he has, which usually is called a trophy wife for lycopodium, is very important to mold his ego, to mold his persona. And I'm not surprised. I don't know if you heard it, but I'm sure, Kim, you follow some of these elections too. But just lately, just this week, the whole buzz is about the spouses of the candidates, where obviously it should be on the candidates. And they're, you know, but, you know, it's all about it because now for many of them, I won't even have to name names, are married to much younger women, glamorous looking, and, you know, it's called an asset in the election. You know, that tells you something again about what really goes on in the minds of people and how the world is perceived. You know, you perceive as successful, you perceive as, of course, you know, intellectual even, you know, when you have a trophy wife, so to speak. It's interesting to me, and at the same time, it certainly said what it tells about our society. So certainly, what I was surprised mainly was the illness from sexual excess, that I couldn't find it in fluoric acid. But as it is right now, when remember what I told you, they're sitting in front of the computer, I guess they're more of lookers and voyeurs, and certainly, you know, than really one-night stands, which is definitely the case with lycopodium. And certainly lycopodium does have an aversion, it says, to domestic duty, and that really tells you all about what this neglecting his duty is about. It's the aversion to domestic duty and he flees from his children. In other words, you know, fleeing from responsibility about things that really, in his words at least, doesn't really give him any good points for his persona. And that's what it is all about. So you see, again, we can clearly make so many more things we can say about this. But again, by going first to the core delusion and then look, why was this core delusion formed in the first place, which is the ailments from, and comparing them with both remedies, what they have done now, it makes it really very clear and gives you a lot more certainty by choosing one of those two remedies when it's needed to make a differentiation.
Very interesting. Luke, in terms of the remedies, you know, obviously they have various strategies to deal with their lives. Can you describe that a little bit? How do they get through their lives? And do you find that one of the remedies or the other is more successful in getting through life under this state, in the state that they're in?
Well, it's again, when we look at how they will end up, so to speak, in life, it is interesting for me when I have seen fluoric acid people in my practice. I also have read a lot about it, again, with Viktor Frankl, with sexual dysfunction and so on and so on. You know, then we see that the fluoric acid person is really so excessive until the point that he runs out of gas, so to speak. And running out of gas for him is when he probably, when one person said to me once when I had one in my office, that he came to me because he could not look in the mirror anymore. He could not look in his own face anymore. As we call the man in the mirror, the man in the glass is important. So he couldn't do it anymore. The shame really totally overcame his whole persona. And at that point, he was looking for help. So again, there too, before it even happens, people in fluoric acid state have gone through a lot of denial, certainly have ruined their profession, they have ruined almost any relationship with anybody, not just with their family, but also with friends, with most friends, because they don't have time anymore to interact with them. So it's certainly the fluoric acid person is doomed to failure, and I just wonder how many are running around not getting homeopathic help. We know that's 99% of them. And that's very unfortunate, because nobody else but us can make a better help than for those unfortunate people. They're like a podium. You know, if they're like a podium, is able to put the accent more on his positive skills, which he has. You know, he has his intellect, and he is very careful in approaching every situation in life to approach life with his intellect and not with his feelings, because that's his Achilles tendon. You know, when he shows his feelings, he cannot handle it. And usually then, you know, what happens is that he might resort to rather childish behavior. And then he might apologize later and says, well, that was not me, you know. But yes, it was him. You know, when the shadow side and some elements from the shadow side come out in the conscious, we have to really catch those and try to integrate them in our conscious so that we actually improve as human beings. So certainly, the bottom line is that like a podium, he's probably more successful in life because he has the tools, especially when he finds the profession or the position that he really longs for in all his life, being a CEO of a company and so on and so on, being a professor, being a lawyer, you know, being a politician. Those are certainly the professions that he prefers because it gives him some prestige. They say both individuals become failures by concentrating on what I would call the vices of humankind, sex and glory. Rather than giving to life, they always thought first what to take from life, and therefore they missed the opportunity to self-development, and that's really the bottom line at the end for both characters, and there is nothing better than homeopathy for both of those characters, and certainly we will see so many of our practice. So I would say to all the listeners, keep your eyes and ears open for the ones that's hidden. Both of them are hidden. They are difficult customers. They certainly don't want to overwhelm you with what they think they are. But underneath, we know that it's just the person in shambles, and those are the ones we want to help.
Thank you again, for, as always, a very enlightening discussion. I have lots more questions that I could ask, but I'd like to give some other people on the call an opportunity.
Okay, wonderful.
Questions. But before I do that, though, let me just mention to everybody that Dr. Luke started up a practice again. As we mentioned earlier, Luke has always been in practice, but in terms of an established formal practice. He had taken a sabbatical for a number of years, and he's back practicing again in Pacific Palisades, California. I'll just give you the address quickly for people who might be interested. It's 15247 West Sunset Boulevard, Suite 202, Palisades, California, and the zip code is 90272. The phone number there, if anybody wants to make an appointment for themselves or perhaps for some of their patients, the number there is 310-573-2020. And I just want to mention that Dr. Luke, before taking a sabbatical, had been in practice for almost 30 years. So he has a tremendous amount of clinical background and training experience, and I'm sure he would love to help people with difficult cases or any other capacity that he can do that. Also, you might want to, if you want to get more information on Dr. Luke's seminars or teaching engagements, you can go to his website. That's www.drdrluke.com. Luke, is there anything else that you wanted to add? Any specific seminars?
Not at all.
Or...
not at all. I just hope not to get overwhelmed with work.
Okay.
But that's probably a delusion.
You know, I'm sure a lot of patients are going to really appreciate having you back, seeing patients full time again. And
yes,
I know
I
you
already
were...
heard it. Don't worry about it. I just have to keep my
okay,
balance.
Well, no, I know a lot of people really appreciate it. So, again, Luke, thank you. It was a very, very enlightening call. Let's open it up and let some other people ask questions.
Okay, thank you very much.
Dr. Luke, I have a hearing problem, and I didn't catch the first word in the core dilution of fluoric acid. I got the must be broken.
Yeah, betrothal. It says betrothal, which is engagement. So engagement really, is what the word means. It's basically the engagement. Now his marriage, basically. Okay, his marriage. He wants to break his marriage, and it's more than marriage. It's basically everything with he now with whom he has a relationship. You know, so with his children, with his servants, it says his wife, and of course family. Okay, so that's really what it means.
Betrothal.
Betrothal, yeah, it's an old English word, I guess.
Yeah, yes.
But
yes,
maybe it's engagement. It means engagement or marriage.
I understand. Thank you.
Dr. Luke, I have a question. This is Mireille.
Yes, Mireille.
Can a lycopodium have a crude side to them? I have a particular patient that I've been trying to help for a couple of years. I do see the mask of bravado. He loves himself, or he pretends to love himself in front of all of us. Yet there is this very crude side to him. There's a sense of humor where he knocks other people. He's very verbally abusive at home to his wife and kids, yet he is very devoted to his job.
Yes, well, there you see really the split personality that lycopodium is, where indeed he can speak with a voice of command and dictatorial behavior. Remember, towards the family, it's certainly... all his friends will probably say he's the greatest guy in the world. So this crude manner really is related to what I would call his inferior function, what we would call inferior function according to Jung, which for lycopodium is his feeling function. So whenever he has to come or approach the situation with his feelings, you know, which of course is with his anima, we would call it, which is of course a priority for women, then he will fail because, you know, it's something that he does not want to do. He knows he's not good at it. He knows he will fail if he doesn't remember. That's his core delusion, that everything will fail. He wants to avoid to fail for sure. So, you know, this crude manner that you describe is when he actually is coming in a situation where indeed the feeling function must be attempted and must be used. And, of course, he needs to get it out of his subconscious. And, you know, if you put something in your subconscious that you have never exercised, something that is really archaic and primitive, we cannot expect that it will actually bloom there and grow there to something mature. You know, when it actually called for, and in that situation with lycopodium, it's called for in this crude manner, what you're saying. Of course, it's crude because, you know what, it's totally primitive, it's non-exercised, and it's going to come all of a sudden, makes its appearance in the conscious life. It has to be in a very primitive, very childish way, crude way, as you say. That's the definition of primitive and archaic. And it surprises people, you know, that how can this very, you know, intellectual person, always in control of his actions, in control of his words, so good with words. You know, how can this be that all of a sudden this happens? Well, you know what? This is absolutely a big part. And if anything, it actually confirms the selection of Lycopodium rather than contradicts it.
I don't see he's very good at what he does, but in a social situation, I don't see the intellect standing out. You notice what he has repetitive behavior, which
right.
is very similar to Lachesis. You know, he is very loquacious, but he's not as refined,
I guess. You know, guess what? Why? You know, he's not as refined as Lachesis, I'm sure. You know,
no,
Lachesis,
not at all.
Lachesis will, because you know why? Because Lycopodium is always, when he comes in an environment where strangers are, like you say, socially, he doesn't know everybody, you know, and he's always afraid that somebody will be able to rip off that mask, that somebody will be able to see behind that mask.
Well, he actually does not like social situations.
Well, of course.
His wife has to drag him.
Yeah, of course.
Yet he's the first one at work.
Exactly. That confirms it, right? Because at work, he is a hero. At work, he knows everybody. There,
yes.
In social events, he does not know. He is very afraid somebody's going to find out, hey, he's not such an intellectual. He might be an intellectual, but he's not as sure about himself as he shows.
Okay.
You know, so that really confirms the remedy. And certainly, you know, he cannot approach anything with his feelings. He is deadly afraid to be discovered. So it definitely confirms this. And certainly this is interesting because if you compare it with Lachesis, which is a complementary remedy, Lachesis is much more at ease because Lachesis has more of a witty speech, you know, his good loquacity, you know, he has great intellect, he's good with factual things and so on.
Yeah.
And so on. So a lot more passionate person. Don't forget, Lachesis is what we call in TCM a fire person, where Lycopodium is a wood person. Now, that makes all the difference. So Lycopodium is a choleric type, yet Lachesis is a passionate temperament, so to give it another twist to it. So that gives you an idea, and certainly you have seen it, Mireille, very well. That's the Lycopodium person, true and true.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Luke.
Dr. Luke, you advise very low potencies in order to treat the person with cord lesion that you described right now. The question is why delusion which belong to mind, and mind usually responds better to higher potencies, and in your and right now you mentioned as low as possible.
Luke, did you hear that question?
Yeah, not completely. Can you repeat it for me, please?
Yeah, so I had a hard time hearing it totally myself, but my understanding is that what she's saying is, you're, in terms of talking about potency, because a delusion is a mind symptom,
okay.
Normally wouldn't we want to give a higher potency
right.
as opposed to perhaps a
okay,
but that's
to an,
LM?
Yeah, that's a good question. Okay,
yeah.
I understood it. Again, there's two. I certainly would not say to you, there's a difference between potency and dose, because, you know, it's amazing throughout the world that people confuse both. At any given moment, no matter what it is, if it's a mental, emotional case or physical, the dose always should be minimal, as small as possible, and I must put the axiom on it, even in acute and chronic cases. I just refer to you to aphorism 275 and 276, read it very carefully, and you will see that with too much of a dose, Harman is very strict about it. He said, you can kill the patient. I mean, he might exaggerate a little bit there, but certainly you can do a lot of damage. But he also calls it the smallest dose of the highly potentized remedy. It is two different things. So he talks about the highly potentized. Certainly when we don't have, as in the cases that we described now, if we don't have a physical pathology, you know, advanced pathology, you certainly would not do nothing wrong with starting a case like this with 200C. I have been, over the years, become more careful and always surprising because I like to start with the 30C now. I'm talking about chronic cases, of course. Even in like a podium case when really we have delusions or mental emotional symptoms advanced, because I have always seen that even the smallest dose and of a 30C potency will give a reaction when it's dissimilum for sure. And it's a lot easier for us to build up quickly, you know, again, with the doses, you know, interspersed between each other. then starting with too high of a potency and giving the risk of a similar aggravation, which might you make lose patients. So it's a lot easier. You know, do a test dose with 30C, small dose, as I said, you know, half teaspoon, maybe it's a start. Sometimes it's drops, I can tell you right now. And then as you build it up and as you go forward, you might always already have to go maybe to 200C, maybe when you're halfway done with a bottle of 30C. That's quite possible because your vital force, as it gets stronger, the responsiveness, what we call the reactivity of the vital force, gets stronger. So therefore, it needs a stronger stimulus. So that's something we need to be aware of it, and that's, of course, what good management is all about.
I have a question. In the beginning, you talked about Jung. And did I hear you say that he practiced homeopathy?
No, I wish he did.
I wish he did,
but what I'm saying, he was practicing unconscious homeopathy. It was quite amazing for me when I read through all his collective volumes, one after the other. There's only 20 of them. And I went through everything else I could get my hands on. But it's quite amazing that he uses the same terminology even as us, even life cures, like he calls. He talks about the smallest possible dose. He talks about first the patient making it understand before he will explain it to the patient. You know, for me, I have no doubts the success he had. He was far ahead of everybody else. And I'm actually surprised nowadays that Jung is kind of on the background with psychologists, and I would say maybe just like Hahnemann is on the background with many homeopaths, which is a pity because, you know, to me, there's no better homeopath than Hahnemann, there's no better psychologist than Jung. We can really learn a lot from, and especially I would probably say to all of you, if you can really learn about dreams, I'm teaching this to my students because it is a phenomenal, wonderful gift to do dream interpretation, and that's something that you should keep in mind.
Can everybody give Luke a big thank you?
Thank you, Dr. Luke.
Thank you, all my friends. I will be all with you in practice.
All right, Luke, thank you. And anything you want to say before we part?
What was it?
Anything that you'd like to say before we end the call?
Yes, I'd like to say to all of you that we have chosen a very difficult profession, but, you know, we need to be hanging together. And one of the reasons I go back in practice is to really show that homeopathy can do a lot and to give support to all of my students and to all of you who are not even my students. You know, just would say to you, to all of you, I'm really happy you're doing homeopathy. I admire that you do homeopathy because you chose the most difficult profession, but I want to make sure I'm standing behind all of you.
Well, thank you again for all your generosity, Luke. It's greatly appreciated by everybody.
Thank you.